trying to do a very, very difficult task. You want to build a big temple of for Radha Shyam Sunda. These are the names of the deities? Or
Radha Madhava.
Radha Madhava. Radha Madhava in Moscow. Just a few days ago you told me that there is a that you prepare to talk to the your main obstacle, the Orthodox Church, and Putin showed some interest to talk again with you about the temple, that something is moving. But I think in these difficult times which you experience, you must have thought about Mat Prasada Tarishyati, how by Lord Krishna's it's possible to cross over obstacles. My thing was to grow deeper roots, and you must have maybe thoughts on your own. Please reveal your secrets to us.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshvatarine Vanchakau Pataru Vashya Kripasunyaya Vacha Patitam Pavamayo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. It's a very difficult subject matter. One of our acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very beautifully says that whenever I meet an obstacle, I take it as an ecstasy. Because an obstacle in the service of the Lord changes its nature. Usually obstacle we consider something bad or inauspicious, but in reality there is nothing bad or inauspicious in this world. If we use everything for the Lord, then everything can be turned into a very auspicious situation. And the obstacles is perhaps most auspicious things in this world. Because without obstacles, we would forget about the Lord. We should actually thank Him again and again and again for sending us so many obstacles. Our main obstacle is, of course, the birth and death in this world. And if it was not for the death, nobody would remember about the Lord. Who cares about Him? I'm just living here. Obstacles is actually the way to grow and the way to mature, because those people who do not face any obstacles, who have very easy life, so to speak, they will not be able to see deeper. So in this particular verse, Krishna explains how to see the action of Paramatma within the heart. At the end of this 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the three main features of the Absolute Truth. The first main feature is the unified field, which is called Brahman. The unified principle which can be conceived beyond everything which we see. And as long as we are under the influence of the guna gunas of modes of material nature. As long as the modes of material nature are fighting within us, we will not be able to recognize this principle behind everything. And Krishna explains in this last verses of the 18th chapter, summarizing everything which he said before, that there are methods by which you can recognize the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Absolute Truth, in all three aspects. And basically what he says that if you want to understand anything about the Supreme Lord, if you want to understand anything about Absolute Truth, and every one of us has a craving inside, every one of us has kind of deep desire to understand what is Absolute Truth, because we cannot be happy being relative entities here. We need some absolute dimension just to exist here. And what Krishna is pointing out, summarizing the whole Bhagavad Gita, his whole discussion, deep philosophical discussion, he's saying that no matter what you want to understand about Absolute Truth, the only method to understand Absolute Truth is bhakti. Even if you want to understand Absolute Truth as the absolute principle behind everything, as Brahman, as the unified field, or whatever you call him, whatever you call this, you know, principle, this, you know, oneness behind everything. Still, he says, the way to do this, the way to achieve this state beyond the fighting and conflicting modes of material nature, qualities of material nature, anxieties which are there, is bhakti. He says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochitina Kangsati Sama Sarvesi Bhutesumat Bhaktim Lavate Param. He says that ultimately it's only by bhakti as a means you achieve this transcendental state over the material nature. And then he comes in this particular verses, he comes to very important subject matter, how to understand that God is within our heart. And he says very clearly here in this very interesting verse that ultimately you can hear the Lord within the heart. He says here, Nasrochasi vinakshasi athache tvam ahankaram. If you will hold this ahankar, if you hold this kind of independent existence, if you insist that I am independent, then you will not hear the Lord. But ultimately, if you don't do this, then very easily you can hear him from within the heart. Actually, the Lord is there within our heart, and he constantly speaks with us. He constantly tells us something. You know, he's very talkative. He likes to talk. Our problem is that we don't hear him. Why we don't hear him? Krishna says here, ahankaram, because of your ahankar, because of your desire to be independent. I want what I want. I want what I want, and nobody is there to tell me what I should want. But my dear sir, there is somebody who is there to tell you what you should want and what you should not want. This is the Lord within your heart. He is there. And Krishna here says, he gives this very beautiful method how to understand. You have to really forget that you are independent, because we are not. Prabhupada explains in this purport that, you know, nobody is independent. Anyone who has just little brain, just tiny little brain, will be able to understand that he is not independent. We are bound by hands and legs, by the laws of material nature, but so many other problems. And Krishna is constantly reminding us all these obstacles which we have. It's just nice little reminders you are not independent, dear sir. And if you think you are a fool number one. So, and Krishna is specifically sending all these obstacles. It's kind of Leela. He's sending all these obstacles to all of us. And then, from within the heart, he's saying, now you do like this, and do like this, and do like this. And if you do like this, there will be no obstacles. But we are stubborn enough to say, no, 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 I'm very strong. I'm extremely intelligent. And I have so much other abilities, and I will be able... You don't need to tell me anything. I will overcome it by my own endeavors. But this is foolish. We can see, this is called ahankar. Ahankar means that we are really trying to prove to the whole world that I'm independent. We're really trying to very foolishly tell that I can live without the Lord. I can live without His words within my heart. I can live on my own. There's no need. You know, I know better. How many times we have said this? You know, 16 rounds of I know better every day. I know what I need. I know what I want. I know what is better for me. We're saying it in a different ways, in a different situations, in different actions which we do. And this is called ahankar. When Ravana, the great demon Ravana, kidnapped Sita, so many different people, including Lord Ram, would tell him, please give up this foolishness. Please give Sita back. And you will be free, you will be happy, please do this. But Ravana used to say, I know better. I know better. I know what I need. I know what I want. And because of this ahankar, because of this very strong voice of our stubbornness, we cannot hear the voice of the Lord. Because the Lord, one of the qualities of the Lord, and one of the qualities of the learned person, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini. When somebody is really intelligent, he becomes Vinaya. Vinaya means humble. Vinaya means gentle. So the Lord, being humble and being gentle, he doesn't really yell from within the heart. He speaks, but he speaks very softly. And when the voice of our ahankar is stronger and louder than the voice of the Lord from within, then of course we don't hear Him. We only hear our ahankar. And Krishna says, because of the ahankara, ahankara and nasrosyasi, you will not hear, and then vinaksyasi. What will happen with you? You will be lost. You will be doomed. You will be totally, completely entangled. So basically what we need to do, and this is the simple advice which is given by the Lord Himself in this verse, just try to hear the voice of the Lord from within. And for that, please try to put little down the loudspeakers of your mind. There are very loud speakers. You know, if you go to discotheque, there are big, huge machines out there. So there is some very loud voice which we always hear. And unless we have a very strong desire to hear the soft voice of the Lord from within the heart, who speaks with us every time, we have to understand that's what he says here in this verse, that the Lord is speaking with us every second of our life. He speaks with us from the sun, He speaks with us from the deities, He speaks with us in the form of other devotees. He constantly addresses us. Here I am. And of course He speaks with us as a spiritual master, and He speaks from within as Paramatma. Because we're stubborn, we're heading towards our own ruination. This is actually the very, very black future which Krishna promises to us. But, you know, he says, if you don't do this, you will be ruined. So basically, to grow deeper means to understand that the Lord is there every second of our life with us, and He is guiding us. He is putting all these obstacles. And He is speaking with us by the way of putting these obstacles. If we are sensitive enough, we can hear the loud voice of the Lord every moment of our life. Here I am, you know, I'm speaking to you. Please understand something. The whole our whole life should become learning experience. Because if we don't learn, you know, that we will remain foolish and we will not be able to pass the exam which will come when we die. So to grow deeper within our heart, to grow the deep roots of Krishna consciousness, we have to really understand that the Lord is there every moment of our life and He cares about us. And the way to understand this, the way to hear the voice of the Lord, is actually to call Him. When we're chanting Hare Krishna mantra, or when Satchinanda Maharaj was chanting so beautifully this mantra, this Nam, this name, then basically we want to say to the Lord, yes, I want to hear you. Yes, I want to be with you. Yes, I want to renounce my own independent will. This is actually the conclusion of all the scriptures. If we take the New Testament, then the last lesson of the New Testament is there when Jesus Christ is praying to the Lord, when he is foreseeing his imminent death, his imminent suffering on the cross, he is crying and he's saying, I don't want this. You're sending me this tremendous, tremendous obstacle. And what be more difficult obstacle if you're about to be nailed to the cross? You know? And he's there at the night. He knows that his death is coming, his sufferings are coming. And he's crying in this wilderness, alone in front of the Lord. I don't want this. But then by crying and crying and crying, confronting his own little will with the great will of the Lord, he gets his consciousness purified. And he knows, this is for my good. And he says, okay, yeah, now I'm peaceful. He says, let your will reign supreme, not mine. Let my desire not be so important. It used to be very important for myself, but I know it's not. Your will is the most important, and it's for ultimate good of everyone. And this is the conclusion of the New Testament. Let your will be not my will. And here, in this particular verse, Krishna basically says about the same thing, that when we have ahankar, we have our independence. And independence means, I know better. This is my desire. But when we have to really put it aside and say, no, I don't know anything. You know better. You know better what is good for me. You please do something for me. And we do it by the means of chanting the holy name. When we chant the holy name with very sincere request, and that's what we can do. My dear Lord, please do whatever you like with me. This is our prayer. Prabhupada explains that when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, we are praying to the Lord, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. And that basically means, my dear Lord, please do whatever you like with me. Please use me in your service. And if for your service I have to be crucified, fine with me, it's okay. I will be very happy. Because this is your service. And that's, again, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. If it is, you know, your will to put me into some difficult situation, yeah, I'll be very happy to do this. And if we chant in this mood, then this becomes the real chanting. And in this kind of chanting, we will be able to experience the kind reciprocation of the Lord. Like Satchinanda Maharaj, he very beautifully and charmingly described how the Lord reciprocated with his prayer. And every one of us can have the same reciprocation with the Lord, because he very clearly says here, I will reciprocate with you. Just do this. I will guide you through all these difficulties. You don't have to worry about anything. I will provide it personally. Your only duty is just to chant the holy name and try to listen to the voice of the Lord from within the heart. There is a very beautiful pastime from the life of Lord Chaitanya which I want to tell to finish this little talk. When he was a young boy, he was 3 years old or 4 years old. From the very beginning, we know that he was revealing his mission in this world. And his mission in this world is to teach that the most important means of attaining any result in this world is the chanting of the holy name. Because by the chanting of the holy name, you can get your consciousness purified. And this is the only means to achieve anything in this world. With impure, dirty consciousness, you will not be able to achieve any goal. So from the very beginning, Lord Chaitanya, when he just was born, everyone was there in Ganga and everyone was chanting. And under this loud chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He was born. He was born in this vibration of Hare Krishna mantra. And then, you know, when he was very young, when he was little baby in the lap of his mother, he would cry as the babies do. And he would not stop. You know, sometimes, you know, he would cry and cry and cry for hours. And they couldn't do anything. They would try to give him some little toy or whatever, you know, ring a bell. But he would not stop. And then, but as soon as somebody would start chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, he would stop. And very soon, everyone in the neighborhood understood that this is the only way to make him happy. So he would always cry, and everyone would always chant, and he would smile. But when he became a little older, and this is very important, this is a very important illustration from the life of the Lord himself. When he became something like 3 years old, and then the ladies whom he already trained, all the ladies from neighborhood, they became so well trained in kirtan that they became addicted to this, because he always forced them to do this, you know, by way of crying and demanding something. But when he became a little older, the ladies still would come to his home and they would sit and chant. They would have kirtan and they would do some household work or whatever, or they just sit and chant and didn't do anything actually. And the Lord, when he became 3 years old, he became very restless. He would run here and there, and sometimes he would run, and you know, and all the ladies who were supposed to watch him were so absorbed in kirtan that they completely forgot about him. And he would run on the street. So it is explained by Vrindavan Das Thakur that the Lord would run out of the home, and he would go to the street. And in the street, there would some people would pass by, some passerbys, and the little Nimai, little boy Nimai, would approach any passerby, and he would beg them, give me something, give me something, give me whatever you have. And this little boy, he's so beautiful, he has big eyes, and he has very nice curly hairs and everything. And he's coming and begging, please give me something. And people, they would become so charmed by him that they would, whatever they had, they would give it to him. You know, bananas or sweetmeats or rice or whatever, you know. And they would think, what did I do? And Nimai, he would snatch everything which he would be given, and he would run back, and he would see all these beautiful ladies from the neighborhood who were chanting Hare Krishna, and he would bring these sweets to them or bananas to them or everything, and then run again, and you know, he would get something else and he would bring it back to these ladies, and run again and bring it back to these ladies. So the purport of this little pastime is very deep and very important. Because in the Shastras, again and again, and especially in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have this command, or we have this order, chant the holy name. And the Shastras say, you don't have to worry about anything, you just chant the holy name, day and night. And it's so obviously impractical, this order, that you know, it's really strange to read it again and again and again. You don't have to worry anything about anything, you just chant the holy name. So some people, they even rejected Shastras because of this. Some people, they say that this is not practical. But here Lord Chaitanya shows how practical it is. He says, you know, you don't have to worry about anything, just chant the holy name, and I will bring everything to you myself. I will go and beg for your sake. I will take care of all your needs. If you are determined enough to really establish the relationship with me, then you don't have to worry about anything else. But if you're not determined, if you don't have this courage, if you don't have this faith, then of course you can worry about yourself, no problem. And you can try to overcome all these obstacles which will be there. And I will very kindly put all these obstacles in your way so that you would every now and then remember about me. But if you want to get rid of all the obstacles, if you want to really see that the whole life is just a beautiful journey towards the supreme goal and supreme destination in the spiritual world, then just chant the holy name. And then, yeah, of course, obstacles will be there, but somehow or other they will come and go. And this is extremely practical, if you try, you know. And sometimes, of course, obstacles are so insurmountable that there is no other way to overcome this than just by, you know, raising the hands in the air and saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I recently was in India, and in India I went to an Ayurvedic physician because my health is not so good. And he said to me, do you know the best exercise? The Ayurveda teaches a very, very nice exercise by which you can get the divine energy into your body. Because all these problems, all these diseases are just because of our ahankara ultimately, because of our independent existence. And he said, the best exercise to get this divine energy, divine healing energy, is to raise your hands up in the air, very high. You can try it. And open your palms. And say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you immediately feel that divine energy is there. It's coming. All the obstacles are being put. So this is our way to go deeper. We have to make the experiment. We have to really see whether Lord is there to help me or not. But for that, you really have to try. And it will work. And in this way, your faith in Krishna will become stronger and stronger and stronger. This is the gradual way of our surrender, when we gradually, gradually relinquish our independent existence and come closer to the Lord by the way of surrendering Him and experiencing His mercy every day of our life. So thank you very much for your attention.
I think it is now 9:25. If this is a reliable information, yes. So I think we should end here. Is that a good idea? And tomorrow, should we have this last lecture here in the Wellen Academy. Then he will leave for Berlin in the noontime, and we will. We have a second group from the Veda Academy, Gadadha, Apananda, and myself. We will leave Saturday morning to come to this yoga event. Maybe there's a few, some of you are here. If you are, if you don't know yet, we want to invite you to attend this. It's a whole day of yoga.